That's right. Thanks, JP. It's me, Dr. Morgan. Welcome to Health Essentials. There's a good chance that I will say something that you will like today, and there's always a good chance that I might say something that you may not like today, but I'm going to ask you to just keep an open mind. Someone was desperately trying to call a while ago. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. If you need... I chose to use the word desperately. I really don't know that. I'm just sort of maybe joking a little bit. But if you need to call and ask a question related to what do you do to improve your health, then I'm your man. So give me a shout. 903-586-5257. Now, I think that I've sort of covered this before, but I realize one of the ways that we learn is through repetition. And so let me just kind of briefly cover this information for you, and then we'll go straight to the phone lines. There was an article published in the Journal of Steroid Biochemistry and Molecular Biology. I think I'm qualified to read that since I have a degree in biology. I'm just sort of, you don't know my personality anyway. It was published August 29th, 2020. But you know what? I dig biology, though. It's the study of life. It may behoove you to study life. Because if you go to the hospital and they put you in intensive care, now this is not me trying to be negative. I think I'm very pragmatic and practical, but these days it's a death sentence. That's where you go when you're just about to die and they can barely... I know I'm going to get calls on that one. That you don't want to go to the intensive care unit. You don't. You do not want to be put on a ventilator under any circumstances. Just think, what would have happened 200 years ago if somebody had pneumonia? Well, yeah, it was a death sentence. And of course, if you ask me, what is the cure for double pneumonia? Well, you've got an antibiotic. And that's probably what they should be reserved for. It's been a while, but one time that I hung out at the emergency room on a Friday night just to see what happened in the parking lot, every parent in the world was bringing their kid that had a runny nose so they could get a prescription of antibiotics. Back to the article, the Journal of Steroid Biochemistry, here's what happened. To me, it's a very, very interesting study. And I'll just kind of break it down. People that were hospitalized, when I say hospitalized, they showed up at the ER most likely, or they were transferred, and they had a tested positive for COVID-19. And these were the symptoms they had. They had a pretty wicked cough. All of them were short of breath. To me, that would be a very disconcerting, more so than a cough, is to be short of breath. Who wants to struggle to breathe, to get enough oxygen? Well, that's horrific. I don't like that. They had a fever. You know, fever is what your body does when you're sick to try to help you get over it. Every one of them had diarrhea. There were 76 people in the study. And so what they did in this study was, let me just say this. When I read the study, there are many, many critics of the study saying this is ridiculous. There were only 76 hospitalized people with COVID-19. That's not enough people. But you know what? I like the idea of someone trying something novel or something new. If it kind of taps into the body's own healing immune system, okay? One criticism of the study was that the physicians did not measure the blood levels of vitamin D prior to being administered vitamin D. And that's the punchline on this. And I'm going to just make it sound simple. Your body makes natural antibiotics. Maybe you haven't heard of that. Does your body make penicillin? No. Mold makes penicillin. You have an orange that's sitting in the fruit basket too long and it develops a blue-green mold? Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Or if this was 50 years ago and you had a loaf of bread that you bought from the store and you let it sit for more than a week, that blue-green mold was probably a penicillin producing fungus. Does that make sense? Yeah. Now they put so many antifungal chemicals in all the bread that there's no chance for the bread to develop a fungal infection, I mean, or have penicillin mold grown on it. And so in this particular study, they just jumped straight into it. There were 76 people. I'm just giving you the punchline here. They gave one group a boatload of vitamin D. You know, you've ever heard of vitamin D? It's a fat-soluble vitamin. Well, guess what happens? When you take vitamin D, all of a sudden your body can start making the natural antibiotics that it needs. Does that make sense? Okay. And so they had 50 people that were hospitalized. Well, there were 76 that were hospitalized. 50 of them were given vitamin D. Now, how many of the... And I got this study wrong yesterday. Excuse me, when I quoted to a young couple. So I'm trying to correct that right now. Sometimes it helps to look at these things. I read so much stuff, sometimes I blend it together in my mind. But in this study, they had 76 people that were hospitalized with COVID-19. 50 of them they gave vitamin D to. Okay? That's all they did. They gave vitamin D. They gave them vitamin D. Okay? That's the only variable that was different. Out of those that were given vitamin D, meaning 50 unique individuals, one of them required admittance to the intensive care. That one person did not die. Okay? They were able to recover. They were released from intensive care. Now, there were 26 in the study that were given no vitamin D. They're just asking the question, what's going to happen to the immune system? What happens to the human being when we get them vitamin D? Okay? So out of the 50 that were given the vitamin D, one of them was admitted to the intensive care unit, which I kind of said before was like a death sentence. It's because it is. We all know that. I'm not being critical of somebody that's been there. It's not what it's there to try to save your life. I got that. But you don't want to go. I promise you. You do not want to go and be put on a ventilator. Okay? One of those people that was given vitamin D out of the 50 had to go to the ICU, which means 2% of them had to go. That person didn't die. Okay? Well, you're asking me the question now, what about the ones, Dr. Morgan, that didn't get the vitamin D? Well, here's the way it worked. 50% of them, that was 13 out of 26. That's what happens when you divide 26 by 2, you come up with the number 13. 13 out of the 26 that weren't given vitamin D, they had to go to the ICU. That's bad. How many of them died? Two of them did. That's not good. Now, I don't know if you know this, but let me share it with you. Just trying to make it sound very, very simplistic. Besides vitamin D playing a most critical role in helping your immune system do its job properly, which is to generate natural antibiotics that your internal pharmacy makes, I need you to remember, your body is the greatest pharmacy that God's ever designed, but you have to tap into it. You have to do and give its requirements to make these things for you to keep you radiant and healthy. Okay? Here's the other aspect of it. There is a chemical called bradykinin. I discussed this with a microbiologist last Saturday morning when I was at Drug Emporium standing in front of her. Of course, she knows these things. Hey, she's a microbiologist out at UT. Pretty cool. And so, bradykinin, if you make too much of it, it causes a contraction of your bronchioles, and guess what happens? You don't breathe so good. And when you don't breathe so good, you're more prone to building up mucus and gunk in your lungs, thus leading to infection. And so vitamin D has been shown to inhibit the buildup of bradykinin. I don't know. You tell me, what do you want? Do you want to breathe and be free from infection? You want your immune system to be able to robustly respond to infection? You're going to come in contact with somebody that's had the coronavirus. Now, I'm just an oversimplifier, but you know as well as I do, what we have now is not the way it was back in March and April and May. It is not. The coronavirus is an RNA virus, okay? That means it doesn't make a perfect mirror image of itself when it replicates, and those things can replicate very quickly. And so if you give them enough time, they will begin to mutate. I don't know. What do you want? Do you want to just stay indoors all day long and not have any sunlight on your skin? Or do you want to start helping your body make some vitamin D? Well, you might want to have to get out in the sunshine. You know, this is not rocket science, folks. If you look at the studies from 100 years ago, those individuals that had to be quarantined, that had tuberculosis, which tuberculosis is a pretty big honking way to wreck your immune system. You want to beat the crap out of your immune system? Well, getting tuberculosis is probably a pretty good way of doing that. And so what is the number one predictor of all time of who's going to die with coronavirus? Well, it's going to be those that are positive or they test positive for tuberculosis. And you're probably saying, Dr. Morgan, this doesn't affect me. What's the number of people in the world that test positive for tuberculosis? Well, it's only 2 billion. 2 billion. Did you know that? That's what the studies show. 2 billion people on the planet have TB. Does it affect just the lungs? Oh, my goodness, no. If you ever saw a picture of a liver that's been infected with tuberculosis, it looks wicked, baby. It looks horrible. Of course, it can affect the brain, the heart, the kidneys, skin, muscles, the bones. Oh, it looks bad. I think it's 15.2 million people here in North America that have tuberculosis anyway. Enough of that, but what I was going to say was, out of all the people that had to go to a tuberculosis sanitarium to quarantine, who was released the first? Well, it was the ones that sunbathed every day. Bam, there you go. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, how's it going?
This is Norman. To mail you my...
Yes? Uh-oh, lost him. If you would like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. I know where Norman was going with that. He mailed me all his, quote, normal lab tests. The problem is so much of the lab test wasn't normal. You know, that never ceases to amaze me when somebody goes to a doctor, and I love the idea of getting a urinalysis. I think it's brilliant, pure genius. You kind of get to take this peer into the workings of the human body. And so if you had a urine test and it shows that you have blood in the urine, well, that means something, doesn't it? If you want to join me on the radio, the number is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for your call.
Thank you for that good information about preventing coronavirus.
Well, you're welcome.
I have a couple of questions. Number one, you said how harmful wheat can be.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if that applied as well as regular bread, if that would apply to Ezekiel bread.
Well, Ezekiel bread's going to be made with what's called heritage or heirloom wheat seeds. What I think of in my mind sometimes is, what type of wheat did Abraham and Sarah have, you know, 6,000 years? I'm saying 6,000 years. Was that 12,000 years? I don't really remember.
I wouldn't know.
Oh, well, I wasn't suggesting that you were 6,000 years old. But let's just say thousands of years ago, what did they have? Well, they didn't have any genetically hybridized, modified wheat that was Roundup ready. So when you have either Ezekiel bread or maybe Alvarado Street Bakery or other ones, they're using like a strain of wheat that's just old school wheat. That is definitely the way to go. That is absolutely the safest one to consume and to try. And I'm not trying to say that wheat is bad, but it's what man's done to wheat. When you chemically adulterate and change something, you got a whole different animal that may have unintended consequences. And so, yeah, trying Ezekiel sourdough bread, that is the way to go.
Sourdough, or you're just saying all the regular Ezekiel bread? That
well,
would be
any time that you have like a sourdough, you want the more heavily fermented anything is, the better it is for the human organism.
Okay.
I just called you a human organism.
That's good.
Okay.
I do have another question.
Yeah.
I have idiopathic scoliosis. So I have the curvature of the spine plus the weakening thin bones. And I was put on Fosamax for a year and started having some really bad reactions to it as far as just diarrhea and several. I won't go into all of that. But,
bless your heart.
I went to a bone clinic or a bone, you know, specialist. And after tons of x-rays and tests and all, they came back and wanted to put me on another drug that was similar to Fosamax. So I really didn't want to go that route.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Yes.
What do you think about the bone specialist after all that?
Very disappointed.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Here's what I want to do. I want to promote life and healing.
Yes.
And so I know that what I'm going to say is going to come across as pretty weird, but just let me have a go at it, okay?
Okay.
There's a veterinarian, and I have forgotten the gentleman's name, so please forgive me. But then again, I can't butcher his name if I don't remember it, right? But he's from Australia, but he kind of specializes in taking dogs that have very, very advanced bone disease, and they have degenerative hip joints or knees or ankles. And you know as well as I do, there's some dogs, they're just kind of given to, hip and knee problems, right?
Right.
Okay. But what he does is he says, you know, let's just not throw the baby out with the bathwater and just do like a hip replacement on all these dogs. Why don't we try something radically different? And sometimes the owners say, really, you want to do something different than doing major surgery on the hip of my dog? And he said, yeah, I have a plan. Why don't you let me take your dogs for the next 3 weeks and let me feed them this kind of diet that I think they should be eating? And they go, but we're feeding them Purina doggy chow. What could be better than that? He says, well, you may not want to hear this, but I have the intention of feeding your dogs raw meat and raw bones. And they're going, that's gross. He says, well, let me see what I can do here. And so he'll take these dogs and he'll put them on a raw meat and bone diet. Does that sound radical to you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, in nature,
I mean, not for dogs, but for
no.
Myself.
Well, I'll leave that as an open-ended question for you to pursue yourself. But anyway, people have been eating sushi for a long time. But anyway, to make a long story short, he's got some of the greatest success rates of all time of taking severe bone disease and turning it around just with raw bones.
Wow.
Now, in the real world, here's what I would recommend to you. I'm not going to have you go to the butcher shop and say, you know what? I love that big knuckle joint right there from that Angus cow. Let me order that, please. But people have done that. So if you were to make like a stew and you had like a shoulder joint in there from like a, you know, a roast or something, all that marrow would come out in the stew, but that would be vital energy to help rebuild your bones. But in the real world, I can tell you what works because I've tried it over and over again. There is a company known as Standard Process. They make a product called CalciFood.
Okay, can I inject something right here?
Inject away.
I have been to the local health food store, and I have been on from the Garden of Life company, the Grow Bone Calcium, which is whole food plant, you know, formula, and then the growth factors.
That ain't what I'm talking about.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is they take bones like the spine and the ribs of a calf. You know, they take a calf to the meat processing facility, and they take the bones and they put them in a big, looks like a cement truck to me, with bowling balls in it, and they crush them into a fine powder. But this is just raw bone marrow. You want to heal your bones, you're going to take raw bone marrow, baby.
Okay.
So that's why I'm saying that. I'm just kind of cutting to the chase and telling you what's going to work.
Okay.
I mean, if what you're doing is working perfectly, then I'd say, hey, that's a home run.
But I really don't know. I don't know.
Here's the two things that you're going to have to do. Number one, your fortunes are going to rise and fall based on the type of beneficial microbes and bacteria that you have living in your gut. I know that's like an oversimplification, but here's what happens. When I look at studies on people that have tremendous bone loss, there is a tremendous decline of the beneficial bacteria that live inside the gut. Now, there's a term that I've studied and read about, and I'm just going to float this idea to you, or this term to you. It's called biotransformation. It's going to sound weird the way I'm going to say it, but if you have enough good microbes living in your gut, they can take the foods that you're eating, if you're eating fermented foods and raw foods, and they can convert them into almost anything that you need. And so when you start to, in science, here's how they say it. They say there's a form of a bacteria called a firmicutes. Sometimes I hear people call them firmicutes. I don't know why they're saying that, but it sounds funny. And the other one's called bacteroidetes. I know I butcher the names of them. One's bad and one's good. So the more firmicutes you have, the better your bones are going to be. It's just as simple as that. And so how do you do that? Well, one of the ways is by eating foods that are that encourage the growth of firmicutes. And so there's a term that's being floated today called prebiotics. Have you ever heard that term before?
Yes.
All right. When you eat an apple with the skin on it, you're eating prebiotics. If you eat olives, which are fermented or pickled, you're eating prebiotics. If you have onions or garlic, I think pomegranates are a pretty big one. Some people even say that chocolate is. It is. I was just kind of teasing about that.
It is?
Yeah, it is. Oh, when I say chocolate, I'm not talking about a Snickers bar. That's more sugar than it is, you know, chocolate. But if you get the chocolate without the sugar, that's considered a very, very good prebiotic, which means it encourages beneficial microbes. And so you can plot on a graph. People's health goes downhill when they start to suffer from not enough beneficial microbes. Even, I've read studies that in cultures where people drink, now I'm no expert at this, I'll be the first to admit it, I'm learning. I always tell myself, Roy, you can learn anything if you just apply yourself. So if I don't know something about a topic, I'll start studying and researching it. But if you look at just the consumption of what's called red wine, I don't mean white wine. White wine, when I look at it, it's kind of clear. It doesn't look like it has many nutrients in it at all to me. But if you look at a red wine, maybe something like a Cabernet, something like that, that's going to have a higher nutritional density. And there's a molecule, a polyphenol molecule that's found in red wine called resveratrol. You ever heard of that before?
Yes, I've heard the term.
So resveratrol, oh my goodness, when you start getting resveratrol in the body, all of a sudden, all the good beneficial bacteria start growing and populating and taking over the body, and that's what you want.
So see, I'll be a wino, but I'll have a strong back.
Yeah, that's a great interpretation there. Yeah, I like that. No, and like anything else, I'm not telling you drink three bottles of red wine and, you know, become a wino. But if you have a little bit, and sometimes a little bit goes a long way, but I think in one of the studies they said it was somewhere between 4 and 6 ounces. And okay. Don't, I'm not telling you to become drunk with alcohol. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
But I know. That was pretty funny, though. At least I figured out you are one clever, quick-witted woman. that part's great. Well, no. You are. You're super smart. I love it. And so when you consume these things that are called prebiotics, you start transforming all the calcium that you eat into what's going to go to the bone. But you got to have fat. Without enough beneficial fat. See, that's really the same topic. A cow is huge out in the pasture. Would you believe me if I told you 92% of the energy that a cow uses for fuel, it's pure fat? Would you believe that?
Sure.
Okay, you know how they get there? What they do is they eat hay and grass and vegetation and different flora and fauna in the woods. And they have this huge gut filled with so many microbes. And what happens? The gut, all these bacteria in a cow's gut ferments all that grass, and they convert them into what's called short-chain fatty acids. That's one of the greatest keys to health. Without enough beneficial bacteria in your gut, you cannot take enough drugs like Fosamax is a disaster. I'm not trying to be negative, but you've kind of proven it to yourself that if you take it long enough, all it's doing is just killing the cells that break down old bone so it can replace it with new bone. And so if you do weight-bearing exercises, if you encourage the growth of bacteria, if you take raw bone calcium like calcifood, then we're in business. Then you can turn it around.
Okay. That last raw bone calcium?
Yeah, that's what I tried to tell you about, and you switched to the Garden of Eden or Garden of Life vitamins on the vegetable calcium. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about raw bones that have been crushed when you consume raw bones, that's going to be the form that helps turn it around. That's why I told you about that veterinarian that uses raw bones to heal dogs from horrible problems.
So would I just, like,
cook yes.
them and eat the broth?
No, I told you about a product called CalciFood.
Okay.
You would take it. But, yeah, I like all those things that you can do. The more of these things you can do, the better.
Okay.
So if you can have a diet that's filled with prebiotics, it's going to be a home run. That's called fermented raw pickles and Bubby's sauerkraut and kimchi. Have you ever tried kimchi before?
No.
You can walk right into Walmart and you can go over there where they have salad dressing in the refrigerated section, and guess what you're going to find a jar of? Kimchi.
Okay. How do you spell that?
K-I-M-C-H-I.
Okay.
You thought I was talking about the name of your next door neighbor, Kim Chi. So, but all these things, they encourage beneficial bacteria. And, you know, the more that I say this topic, I'm so fascinated by it. So if a person goes to the drive through of a fast food restaurant like the one they're building right across the street from the radio station,
Chick-fil-A.
Oh, my goodness, this is the biggest monster one I've ever seen in my life. I just looked at it a while ago when I was outside trying to get some cold, fresh air in my lungs. I said, man, this thing is twice as big as any other one that I've seen. So evidently they have a plan to, you know, sell 1.2 billion sandwiches over the next year. Anyway, but if you eat junk food, I'm switching topics here, but if you eat Doritos for breakfast and have donuts and Coca-Cola, you're just gonna encourage toxic microbes to secrete all their filth and all their waste in the body. You can't do that and sustain good health. That's one of the reasons why people that have diabetes, they have so many health problems, because you got all that sugar in the body and you're encouraging toxic germs to grow, and that causes so many health effects. It generates inflammation. So basically, here's what you've got. With scoliosis, that's a lymphatic issue. I know I'm kind of a weirdo on that topic, but if you have poor lymphatic circulation to that part of the spine, it's going to curve hard to it. But that's just the way I look at it. That's the only way I see those situations resolved. The other issue is we've got to give living nutrients if you're going to grow bone, new bone material, bone marrow. So that's why I mentioned all those prebiotics like pickles and cabbage and cauliflower and broccoli, asparagus, one small glass of red wine, or you could take the product called resveratrol as a nutritional supplement, dark chocolate, sauerkraut, kimchi, stuff like that. But if you take that one bone-building supplement called CalciFood, I'm just telling you, out of my experience of 31 years, that's the one that I've seen work greater than any other.
Okay. And that's
the honest to gospel truth.
Okay. All right. Now, on the onions, can they be
of course.
Cooked, or do they have to be raw?
No. Of course they can be cooked.
Okay.
So if you tell me you want to saute some onions, There's a Mediterranean restaurant in Tyler that I really, really like. It's called Tiba Grill. And I still can't pronounce what I order there, but it's like an onion meatloaf stick. See, wow. I can't even tell you what the thing is, but man, do I love it. But it's loaded with onions. So good.
Okay.
Yeah, go in there and say, what does Dr. Morgan order exactly?
Well, I can't run over there every evening because I'm in Plano.
Oh, well, you're making up all these excuses now. You could just get on your luxury jetliner and get right over here, couldn't you?
That's true. Yeah.
No, but you're in Plano, so you got to make the best with what you got. So,
yes, you've given me a lot of good.
So the other two things that I want to cover just briefly, if I told you what has the greatest influence over bone health, I'd say doing weight-bearing exercises are just critical. You could go onto YouTube right now and say, what are the best weight-bearing exercises for scoliosis with osteoporosis? They would have a video on that. But vitamin K2 and magnesium, these, in my mind, are the most critical nutrients above and beyond calcium for stimulating bone growth.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of the high priest entering the Holy of Holies once a year? If you read in the Old Testament, correct? Would you care to guess which fruit he had embroidered into his garments before he would enter the Holy of Holies?
Trying to remember.
Begins with a P.
Huh? Pomegranate?
That's it. Yeah, you got it. And so pomegranates, oh my goodness, I read a study recently that showed when they took men that had pretty significant heart attacks and they gave them just a little bit of pomegranate juice every day, they healed 40% faster. Now, I don't know if you know what 40% means, but if you had a savings account and they said, we're going to offer you 40% return on your investment per year if you keep your money in the bank account, well, you'd be telling all your friends saying, oh, my goodness, you can't even find a savings account that offers 4%. That's a huge number. But pomegranates tend to tap into your body's natural stem cells. Stem cells are the factories that grow just about anything that you want, even new bone. So pomegranate is a brilliant idea.
Okay.
I would vote that you either eat pomegranates or juice them or drink some pomegranate juice every day.
Okay. Just that I'd find to hear it. Herb Mart. I do have an Herb Mart nearby.
I've never been there. Is that a cool store?
It's just like the one in Tyler and Lindale.
It's called Herb Mart?
I believe so.
Never been there. Never heard of it.
Is that Herb Mart? It's a health food store.
Gotcha. I just haven't heard of it.
Okay, what is the health food store in Tyler?
Well, we have several. I think we have one called Natural Grocer. We have one called Drug Emporium. There's one called The Granary.
Granary.
Okay. I heard what your husband said.
Yeah.
He sounds like a smart guy. You should listen to him.
Really? Really?
That guy's going to be sautéing onions like crazy for you for lunch today. You better eat all of them.
Yeah. Just so I don't do it for breakfast, that would be a little
bit. Well, maybe a little bit. Okay. Well, this is a starting point for you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Have a good day. I wish you the best in Plano today. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Okay, good morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Dr. Morgan. This is Health Essentials.
I knew that. That's why I called.
You know, you sound like a very highly intelligent man. I'm just judging by the initial comment.
Boy, do I have you confused.
Anyway, what is your question, sir?
How are you this morning? Good to see you.
I am good. Where are you right now?
I am on my way to work.
Was that too nosy of me to ask your current location?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I've been giving plasma, and no, I have not. I've been bad about doing donating blood, but they're saying that my blood has got thick again. What can I do? Oversimplify for me.
Well, what did you do to get it thin? Is that what you're implying?
Well, before you had told me that I needed to donate, so I was donating blood. It wasn't thin, but it was, you know, I was doing what you said about donating blood.
But are they telling you that one particular marker called HCT or hematocrit, is that going up toward 48 or 49 or 50?
No, they're not looking at any of that. They just, you know, I had to, where the sticks were, you know, where they stuck me, it was, I had 2 leaks and 8 visits, so they said, no, you can't come back because your blood's too thick. I said, oh, okay.
Did you take that pretty hard?
No, I just said, I'll call Dr. Morgan. He'll tell me what I need to do.
Okay. Well, you want me to just be brutally oversimplified?
Exactly, because that's...
Okay. What I want you to do is I want you to consider 2 or 3 things. Number one.
Yep.
I need you to buy into the idea that you need to walk and move more, and it may take like 45 minutes a day of a walk. Because you got to get the body moving. So the faster that blood moves through the body, the better it is. Now, this next one's going to be kind of a weird one, but I have a simple solution for you. Would you agree that probably 70% of the earth is covered by water or oceans?
Yep.
Okay.
I would agree.
Then the healthiest people usually have about 70% of their cells are made of water.
Mm-hmm.
Every good chemical reaction that takes place in the body is in the presence of adequate water. Now, it is not uncommon for a person to tell me that I am a helpless individual. I cannot control what I put in my mouth because I'm helpless, and therefore I can't drink water. I usually ignore those because I think, well, if I can't convince her to drink water, what am I going to do? But you've got to drink water. And so there are several fruits and vegetables that are so famous for improving the dynamics of water and how water flows in the body. One of them is an apple. This came to me right now. I'm sure no one's ever heard of this, but I just came up with a new phrase. An apple a day keeps the doctor... Oh, wait, I can't think of the last part.
Away.
Finally, I've got a phrase that I can work with. Apple a day keeps the doctor... Well, probably people wouldn't catch on to it, but if you eat an apple a day, that can play an extremely valuable role. Now, when I say an apple, I mean with the skin on it.
Got it.
So I don't care how you cut it up and core it and toss the seeds into the compost pile. It's all good. But if you eat an apple a day consistently, what's going to happen is it's going to help change in a very positive way how water moves around the body.
Perfect.
Now, that's an oversimplification. Now,
what about grape?
You beat me to the punch. Are you, like, reading my mail? You genius, you. But grapes are so good.
I just try to learn from you.
You mean you've heard this story before about grapes?
No, but I've got a dad that eats grapes all day, every day.
Well, the only way that we can have any...
And he's 96.
Oh, you're going to pull the 96 card. That means he must be doing something right. Okay, great. Your dad has grapes. I remember Paul Harvey years ago on the radio, he compared the studies on drinking Concord grape juice versus an aspirin. Guess which one sort of won the deal when it kept the blood moving? It was grape juice. It was vastly superior. And that's kind of what I find when I look at the studies on pomegranate juice also. Isn't it interesting that all the things that God has provided for us, they're the very things that heal the body,
so amazing.
If I'm wanting to completely transform the circulatory system, I always include lemons in the mix.
Got it.
And so if you took one delicious-looking lemon, squeezed the juice or the blood out of it, I'm talking about the juice, by the way,
gotcha. And
you could find a way to make a lemonade for yourself every day with a shot of grape juice and pomegranate juice, that would go a long way. Now, the negative part of the conversation is, if the blood is super thick, there's just no way to get it thin again if you're eating grains all day long.
Right.
So I know that pizza's normally made from wheat and stuff, but could you switch to, like, cauliflower crust pizza, please?
I'll give it a try.
Oh, well, that was much easier than I anticipated.
A mutual friend of ours and I have made cauliflower crust pizza.
When you say mutual friend, are you referring to President Trump?
Well, he hasn't been to my kitchen, but there's a lady that...
But he would be welcome, wouldn't he?
...friend of ours that... What's that?
He would be welcome, wouldn't he?
Oh, of course he would.
And so if you will, for the moment, consider that there's something going on with your body where the blood is just way too thick. If you give up, because what we got to have is we got to have your triglycerides drop down to somewhere between maybe 50 and 80 on the triglycerides.
Okay.
You just got to make it easy, and you're going to accomplish that when you eat low-starch vegetables. Those are going to be, and actually, I'm pretty open-minded. I mean, you do like that. Yeah, but you like onions and garlic, don't you?
Oh, I've got a bag full of onions and peppers in my freezer that I use to cook with.
Rumor has it that you won the lottery recently, but you turned it down because somebody offered you a bowl of Brussels sprouts for the ticket. Is that true? Could be true.
Okay, well, I guess we'll work with that.
But if you could just consume, and one thing that I think is a very good sales pitch is the idea of eating one green salad a day, and let me explain why. The highest occurrence of strokes, I know I'm being negative, I'm not trying to be, so just kind of take me with a grain of salt. The highest amount of strokes in the U.S. are where potassium intake is the lowest. And so if I look at studies done on geographic locations around the world, people that have the highest intake of potassium, they have the lowest occurrence of having strokes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if you consume one green salad a day, that could easily provide you with about 5,000 milligrams of potassium. There is no way on God's green earth that you're going to do that with taking a potassium supplement. That's just almost borderline ridiculous. Did I pronounce that correctly? But anyway, you knew what I meant. So
exactly.
If you could eat one green salad a day, that's going to go a long way with providing you those alkaline ash minerals. Now, let me say it this way. This is a little bit different. This is kind of where I was going with the lemon juice a while ago. Lemon juice, by its very nature, it has an alkaline quality to it. I know it contains citric acid, but in the body, it's more alkaline. Every good positive chemical reaction in your body is alkaline by nature. Every toxic reaction, whether it's high blood pressure or an infection or high blood sugar or thick blood, that's going to be acid. Acid, acid, acid. And so when you have a big green salad, that's going to be alkaline. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The lemon juice will start the process of scrubbing the blood clean. If you do one lemonade a month, that is in Spanish, that's called noeno.
Gotcha.
If you do it every single day, that's called muy, muy bueno.
Gotcha. Sounds like a plan.
You know how to say happy in Spanish?
Feliz. Ah.
I just learned that this week. Anyway, I'm so proud of myself.
You're such a good student.
I am. In Spanish. So you got to get the body moving. You got to avoid the things that are going to make your blood thick. I think aluminum is totally toxic to making the blood thick.
Yeah.
And so you may not get my permission to cook with aluminum cookware.
Gotcha.
It's got to be cast iron or glass or stainless steel. If your blood values are too high, you're going to have to give blood. So,
yeah.
Lemonade, salads. Okay.
I've got a 100-year-old cast iron skillet and Dutch oven, so.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They were my grandmother's, so I guess I'll have to pull those back out again.
Are you sentimental?
A
little bit?
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
I am, too. I just was curious.
A little bit, yeah.
There was a study that I read recently that said when somebody consumes what are called omega-3 fatty acids, like, for example, cod liver oil,
right,
that it played a role in transforming the health of their gut and getting rid of inflammation. And I thought to myself, hey, that is the ticket to improving one's health. And so if you want to take a little bit of cod liver oil, that would be a very, very good thing.
That tastes nasty, doesn't it? I have to mix that with something.
Did I detect a little bit of negativity in your attitude just then with that last comment?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be on Santa's naughty list this year.
But did I lie to you? No.
Does that bother you that you will be the top 10 naughtiest? How about a lump of coal? You want that? Then you're going to have to change your attitude about cod liver oil.
Okay, fine.
All right, there we go. And so when you use things like olive oil, that is going to be so... You know, some people, they'll make a salad dressing. You know what one of my most favorite things of all time is? You know what balsamic vinegar is?
Oh, yeah.
Well, they have bottles of organic
balsamic. I use that with my Brussels sprouts.
Oh, my goodness. You
and olive oil and onions and peppers.
You know what? It sounds like you got a great plan. You don't even need me. That is going to work.
I always need you to give me a kickstart so I know where to begin.
Which part do I kick? I mean, I'm sorry.
The usual.
Okay, I sort of misphrased that. What I meant is, how can I help kickstart you?
You just did. You're
okay.
Awesome.
All right, good. Well, then get out there and take care of business. You might want to start drinking about 3 cups of dandelion tea a day.
Okay.
And, you know, for people that are really busy, you can actually go in the grocery store and in the refrigerated section, they sell celery juice.
Okay.
So your liver is the organ system that's most concerned with the thickness or the thinness of the blood.
Okay.
And so when the blood's too thick, I started thinking maybe a person's got a fatty liver. That's not a jab towards you. And so... the next time that you're hungry for pizza, I know you're not going to like that, but you might want to drink some celery juice.
Celery juice and pizza, that's interesting.
Celery juice minus the pizza.
Oh, you're no fun. Okay.
I know. Give it a shot and see what happens, man.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate your help.
You're welcome. I hope you have a really good day at work.
You do the same,
right.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad.
All righty. Thank you. God bless.
Adios, amigo.
Bye.
All right. The number here is 903-586-5257. Oh, I left my ringer on the phone. All right, now we got it. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question. I went ahead and I guess I slept wrong or something, and I got a pinched nerve, and my left thigh is real tender. And
left where? Left side?
Thigh.
Oh, thigh. Okay, I'm sorry. Which one?
That's me. I am.
You talking to your husband?
Sorry. Yes.
You tell him you're on the phone with a very important person, and he doesn't need to talk.
I was trying to get out of the room where the radio was because I know I'd get feedback.
Oh, you did great.
Listen to him. You know?
What is he doing? Is he following you around the house like a puppy dog?
Yes, he is.
Is he wagging his tail?
Yes. But anyway, so my left thigh is hurting. It's been keeping me up at night and stuff like that. And didn't have to go to the doctor. And they gave me some steroids and a muscle relaxer.
Oh, no doubt.
But I do.
Here's what I need to know first. You were describing to me over the phone or the radio where the pain is, where is it exactly on your thigh? Is it on the outside of the thigh down to the knee?
No, it's actually on the top, close to my groin area.
Okay.
And then it goes down to the top of my knee.
But you're telling me you went to bed perfectly fine. You woke up this way, right?
Well, I've had back issues before, and so I just usually, if it flares up, I usually just think I've either slept wrong or, you know, just done something to aggravate it.
Is there any possibility or chance that the pain or discomfort is worse at nighttime when you sleep?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Now, see, that's kind of
when I stand or sit. You know, I usually, it's still, the pain's still there, but it's at nighttime is where I can't sleep because it doesn't matter where I lay.
Okay.
Lay on it, lay on the side, or it hurts real bad.
Are you into unusual natural remedies?
Oh, yes.
Good. Then you're called the right place. What I want you to do is the exact location, and this is a little bit messy, but I think you're going to be able to deal with it. Your husband will, for sure. But if you take the juice of a lemon, fresh lemon juice, not the kind that's been pasteurized in the plastic bottle, that doesn't work. I mean, it probably works for some stuff, but not for what I want. But if you will rub fresh lemon juice on that area of pain, like 5 or 6 times a day, let the lemon juice air dry to your skin. And it's going to be a little sticky because it's got like a smidgen of glucose in it. And once it dries, just take some extra virgin olive oil, you know, the kind that's kind of a greenish-yellow color. And you could, I mean, if your husband's listening right now, he could probably say, okay, I will volunteer to rub the olive oil all over your thigh for you just because Dr. Morgan said so. But if you will let the skin... What?
He's listening.
Okay, good. But I'm sorry. I had a woman call me today. She says, my husband's getting a little bit too enthusiastic about rubbing the olive oil. I mean, I'm going, ma'am, I am the physician. I am not responsible for what your husband does at the house. So if you could put the olive oil on the area of pain, do that 6 times a day, and just tell me if your fortunes start to turn for the better. We're talking about healing here. Getting your body to actually correct something and repair it. Man, that's what I love.
Yes. And also when I had to go to the doctor, of course, I haven't been in a while, so they, of course, took my blood and urine and everything, and they told me I had a UT. Now, I've had those, it's been a long time ago.
Well, I don't doubt that at all, because, you know, 60% of all urinary tract infections are asymptomatic, meaning a woman doesn't even have a clue she's got one. But
that's what it was.
And sometimes I see thigh pain because of a chronic low-grade infection.
Oh.
I didn't say completely all the time, but occasionally.
Yeah.
Especially when there's these unusual... I'm sorry, go ahead, ma'am.
Well, they gave me some antibiotics, and several years ago when I had this, they gave me some antibiotics that had sulfur in it, and I was definitely allergic to it. And
oh, my goodness. Would you believe me if I told you the worst pictures I've ever had people text me from the intensive care unit were taking those sulfur drugs?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I usually text them back, and I'm going, who is this? I don't recognize you.
Yeah.
And they're going, it's me. And I'm going, oh, well, your face is swollen like a big water balloon. I can't recognize you because of the allergic reaction.
So when they gave me my medicine, I said, make sure it doesn't have any type of sulfur or any anything to do with sulfur.
And oh, no.
That
didn't. And just so you'll know, your body needs sulfur to live. You got to have its essential element. Yeah. So when you eat eggs or onions, that's sulfur right there.
Right.
Well, let me ask you, what do you want me to do besides what I've told you? Just pick my brain here. Tell me what you want.
Okay. Well, my husband just asked me, he said, do you want to do some walking? I didn't know if...
Well, you can, whatever you can get away with, do it.
Okay.
Now, I'm a big fan of doing a full body squat with your heels flat on the ground and just squatting as low as you can to the ground with your bottom on the back of your calves and holding that. But you walk and move and stretch. Some people get one of those foam exercise rollers and roll it out, but if your husband could just massage those tender muscles with olive oil and lemon juice, I would take that gladly.
All right. And I also have an inverter, and I use that. I haven't used it a lot lately because my leg has hurt so bad. But
is your husband Batman?
No, he's not.
Oh, well, sometimes I heard that Batman hangs upside down.
Yeah, okay. I know.
Well, you can definitely try that. But right now, if your leg is killing you at night, that's tendonitis right there.
Okay.
If it hurts all the time to move it, then you may have a touch of bursitis. That's legitimate.
Okay.
But if you will just be very enthusiastic, well, you don't have to be enthusiastic. All you have to do is just do it. Put the fresh lemon juice on the area of pain. Give it about a minute to dry or soak in, and then cover it with olive oil. Okay. Do that all day long.
Okay.
You got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
And listen, I can kind of pick up your husband's vibe, even though I can't hear him right now. I can see that he's like rubbing his hands together with excitement, like, let me at those thighs. I'm going to work her over big time and help my wife.
Yes, I'm sure he is.
Is his nickname Mr. Enthusiasm?
It's usually Mr. Wonderful.
Oh, Mr. Wonderful.
Yes.
Sir, I need you to hold it down. I'm talking to your wife right now. I can hear him in the background.
Yes.
Okay, no, this is good right here, but I expect, it doesn't matter. We don't have to have a lab test here. Let's run toward healing.
Yes.
And so one thing that you may do is you may want to start cleaning your kidneys out. And one easy way is just consuming dandelion tea every day.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, would I steer you wrong? I drink about 2 cups a day myself, and look at me. Well, never mind. Let's not do that. So
all right,
dandelion
that sure
tea.
Will help me.
Good. All right, let's see if we can get you well. You're welcome. Thank you for your phone call, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open. This program is Health Essentials, 903-586-5257. Here we go. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I need to pick your brains.
Pick away.
I was just diagnosed with an infection, possibly staph infection, in my right forearm.
I think I want to take that pretty doggone seriously.
Well, I am, because I don't like the pain.
Oh, anyway, boy. Well, now, what do you mean, your forearm? Is it like a boil that's rising to the surface?
It's a swelling. It's there's no pimple.
Well, how do they diagnose it as a staph infection?
Well, I told him that I didn't know exactly how I got it. It's been there for about 2.5 weeks, and I said I didn't notice any kind of spider bite, and it had a small raised spot to it.
Oh, no, those are legitimate. I mean, you can get stung by, you can get bit by a mosquito and get a staph infection.
Okay, well, about 2 weeks ago, I was burning a bunch of brush and had a bunch of small bites on me.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. But anyway, I scratched the head of it. It's very small. Nothing's ever come out of it. It's healed up. The initial
so it never really drained to the exterior, no. Like there was some fluid in there that needed to come out.
No, sir.
Okay.
But yesterday they gave me 2 antibiotics. It's the first time I've ever been on antibiotics.
Are you serious?
I don't ever recall being on antibiotics.
Wow. You're like the last man on earth. That's awesome. I think I've had 4 in my lifetime.
Well, I've always been told you don't want to build up resistance, don't use unless you absolutely have to.
Yeah.
So, anyway, but I'm 64, and my real question is this. He said it was possibly staph. Do I need to worry about being more predisposed to staph from now on, even after this heals up?
Well, and see, that's the thing that I kind of question in my mind. Is it really staph or is it something else?
Okay.
I mean, I don't have any way of knowing. I mean, you remember when the Philistines captured the Ark of the Covenant in battle? They were all too glad to send it back, and their sin offering back to God was boils. So evidently they got a whole bunch of boils or staph infections from as their punishment. Anyway, you got to understand there's about 26 different forms of staph. Some of them are very weak, and some of them are wicked, wicked bad news Magruder, which means they could eat you for lunch. And so anytime a staph infection, but there's a swelling in your arm. I just don't know what that is.
Yes.
So tell me, what do you want me to do exactly besides answer the question, could you have staph?
How can I? He's given me two antibiotics. And
I know what I like to use over and over again. There's an herb called creosote bush.
Okay.
And usually that's going to be mixed with echinacea and golden seal, and it tastes bad. I'm not going to lie to you. What do you want me to do? Say, oh, you're just going to love the taste of it, and you're going to thank me for it. No, you will not. You're probably going to call me and say, Dr. Morgan, has anyone ever died from the taste of this? Because it tastes like death. Well, it's the one thing that I use when somebody has a staph infection. I am not saying that I treat staph infections. I would never do that. But
all right.
we got to find a way to get this your body to heal. Now, one thing that I would do if it were me, because I don't know what's going on. I mean, the doctor can easily do a lab test. And so on the lab test, when your neutrophils are high and your lymphocytes are low, that's a pretty good idea that you got a staph infection. So did they do a lab test on you?
No, they did not.
You realize all these things are very easy for me to say after the fact.
Okay.
Of course, I would think it would be easy to do a blood test to see if you've got an infection. So now we need to focus on healing. So if you want to rub apple cider vinegar all over that swollen area all day long, you can. If you want to take Indian healing clay, which you can buy that at the store easily, if you want to make mud with apple cider vinegar to draw it out, you could do that. Anytime that there's like a staph infection, some of the old school remedies are taking a sterile gauze and buttering that sucker up with raw honey and wrapping it around it to help draw it out. Some people are crazy enough to use lemon juice and olive oil to help it to heal. But the bottom line is you've got to get your body to heal that. And so what you take internally is going to make a huge difference. They did one study on mice that have severe staph infections, and the ones that were allowed to lick salt, they got over the staph infection every single time. There are studies that demonstrate that the internal consumption of colloidal silver, it helps assist how your immune system responds to staph in a positive way. So if you want to get 10 parts per million of colloidal silver, that might be a good deal.
Okay.
But the creosote bush or the chaparral, I think that's worth a look when it comes to staph. The other day, I was reading a textbook about a particular flower called the daisy. And they said that historically, that's been used, the roots of it, to treat staph infections. Now, I don't know where you're going to go get a liquid daisy, but, you know, you see them growing. But you've just got to deny your body any sugar. Don't eat any grains. Don't eat any sugar. Don't.
All right.
The number one predictor of an infection that gets out of control is going to be sugar consumption.
All right. Thanks for telling me that.
You could take an Epsom salt bath with 2 cups of Epsom salt, and you could try to draw it out that way. But what I want you to do is just be as positive as you can. Let's see if we can get your own natural immune system to heal this. But I'm a huge fan of lemon juice when it comes to anything to do with the skin or the muscles or the joints. So.
Okay.
You can take that however you want, but if you want to go to the store and buy a bag of lemons or several select lemons and start rubbing fresh lemon juice, I mean, technically, you can do that all day long.
Okay.
You may have honeybees flying around you, but how does that bother me at all?
All right.
Unfortunately, we're just completely out of time, but I want you to know how much I appreciate your phone call, and you're welcome to call anytime.
All right. Appreciate it very much.
You're welcome. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.